few years ago, my wife and I were in Maidstone, and it was a nice day. But all of a sudden, it just poured down with rain. And therefore, we needed some refuge. And we saw in the distance a greengrocer with an awning covering its, the produce outside. And so we ran over there and took shelter underneath this awning. A few minutes later, the shopkeeper came out to greet us. We thought we would be in trouble, but no, he was very kind and actually invited us to come into the shop where it was a bit warmer. Augustus Toplady, of course, had a more famous but similar experience. He was there walking in Burlington Cove in the Mendip Hills, and all of a sudden, likewise, it poured with rain. And in the gap between the rocks and the gorge, he came and he found refuge. And it was after that experience that he put pen to paper and wrote, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And perhaps with the ongoing events of a pandemic, we too need a refuge, a place where we can find safety, security, and indeed God's blessings. And in this little book of Ruth, we find such a place. Please turn to the book of Ruth, which begins with a famine in the town of Bethlehem, which actually is a contradiction in terms, because Bethlehem means house of bread. But it wasn't the house of bread. Rather, it was Mother Hubbard's cupboard. It was bare. There was nothing there. And that's because the nation had turned away from God, and God, for their own good, had withheld his hand of blessing. This led one family, Naomi and her husband, together with their two sons, to go to the land of Moab. Now, that really does show what a spiritual low Israel had reached. The whole people were prepared not only to go to Moab, but to allow the two sons to marry Moabite women. But it's exactly what happened. And then the husband dies. The two sons both die in Moab. So then Naomi decides it's time to go back alone to Bethlehem. But one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth, says, "I'm not going to let you go alone. I will go with you. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." And so the two of them make the journey back to Bethlehem. And as you can imagine, when they arrive in this town, there's all sorts of things that could be said about them. They could comment, first of all, about Ruth, the foreigner, the Moabitess, the enemy of Israel. They could speak about Naomi, because when her friends have seen her and said, "Hello, Naomi, how are you doing?" she has replied in chapter 1, verse 29, by saying, "Don't call me Naomi, call me bitter, because I am bitter. And I'm bitter with God." And you can imagine that being talked about all over Bethlehem. But no, there was different news being shared. They weren't talking about Ruth the foreigner. They weren't talking about bitter Naomi. Rather, this is what they were talking about. Verses 11 and 12 tell us that the news of the town had reached Boaz, who said to her, "It's been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people who you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full refuge be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge."
So they were talking about Ruth.
How Ruth had left her family and her land to help Naomi. How she had come to a people she did not know. And how this foreigner has found refuge under the Lord's wings. Isn't it a lovely picture? The first of all, Naomi and Ruth have found refuge under the Lord's wings. And not only has the God of Israel put his wings over Naomi, but over Ruth, over the Israelite woman, as well as the Moabite. God, in his grace, had come to bless them. And it begs that question, well, how has that made a difference to Ruth's life? How being underneath the Lord's wings, has that helped her? Well, let's go through Ruth chapter 2 and find how the Lord helped her. Because the first thing the Lord did for Ruth as she was underneath his wings was gave to her guidance. The first thing Ruth experienced was guidance. Just picture the scene in your minds. Ruth and Naomi have travelled from Moab to Bethlehem. It seems they still have the family house. They've got somewhere to stay. But they need food to eat. And so we are told in chapter 1, verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So there was food in the fields that was being harvested, which meant not only food for the owners, but food for the poor. Because God had said in his word, when you people reap your fields, don't reap the very edges of the field. Leave it for the poor. And if you drop any of it, leave it. It's going to be for somebody else. Leviticus 19 verse 9 and Leviticus 23 verse 22. And Ruth understood that. Because she says in verse 2 to her mother-in-law, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favour. It's an excellent idea. Naomi says to Ruth, go. And she leaves her front door, and before her is all the fields in Bethlehem. How does she know where to go? How does the stranger know which is the appropriate field to go to? So she just goes to what she thinks would be an ideal place. But we are told in verse 3, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Something led her to that specific field. Of all the fields she chose, she was led to the most appropriate field. The King James Version recorded there, and she happened. Just to imply, well, it just happened that way. But that's so often the way the Lord does it. He guides us in a way. That is not chance. That is not fluke. That is not luck. He guides us purposely and specifically. Underneath the Lord's wet wings, she found refuge. And we should not be surprised at that. Book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 17 reads, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Reminds me of Abraham's servant, going to find a wife for Isaac. And he just happened to go to meet Rebekah there at their well. It wasn't a chance encounter. The Lord had planned that. And how many evangelistic works, how many missionary works have not started, as it were, by the chance encounter, but rather because God was in it all. About 30 years ago, when Ukraine was beginning to find out what democracy was like, they sent a group of pig farmers to England to learn about pig farming. And as it happened, they went to the town of Wantage in Oxfordshire, put the people up in the local house there on Sunday, ready to start work on Monday, not knowing that the translator whom they had just picked was a Christian. And as the hotel, a pub really, as the hotel was opposite Wantage Baptist Church, he went to Wantage Baptist Church on Sunday night. And he said to the pastor at the start, "Would you just mind if I just told your church what's happening in Ukraine?" "Of course not." So he went and explained how they had built a church they were about to open, and said to the pastor, "Well, we'd love it if you would come to open our church." And the pastor, being very polite and on the spot, kind of said something along the lines of, "Well, if the Lord makes it possible, we'd love to go." Next morning, as it happened, as he opened his mailbox, there was enough money for him and his wife to go to Ukraine. They went to open the church, and the pastor said, "We'll pray that you will come back." And work continued in Ukraine. Youth camps began, of which I had the joy of leading over a number of years. We saw churches planted. We saw thousands of people come to Christ. Some of the youngsters I led to the Lord are pastors and missionaries and Sunday school teachers. And it just happened because the translator was put in their hotel opposite the Baptist church. It didn't just happen. The Lord was there. The Lord who gives guidance, and the Lord who secondly gives strength. Gives strength, verses 4 to 7. The Lord has clearly led Ruth into the right field. And here I feel a bit guilty, because I love to read the story about Ruth going and gleaning all the grain. But I have to acknowledge that this was hard work. Could I have been bent over double for a whole day of gleaning in the heat? A morning of gardening is enough for me, and then I need a cup of tea. I can't imagine doing what Ruth did. And yet Ruth worked so hard, it's actually worthy of us taking note. Ruth is there, and she's gleaning. Boaz asks about who this woman is. And he is told, verses 6 and 7, "So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, 'It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." She was working so hard, the people took notice of her. Working so hard in the heat and in the difficult situations. And you say, well, how could she work to such an extent? How did she have that strength and that vigour? And one answer could, I suppose, be, well, that's Moabite women. They're just made of sterner stuff. But I don't think so. I think it's the Lord who gave her guidance, gave her strength. A number of years later, her great-grandson, King David, would write in Psalm 18, verse 1, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." He goes on to say, "For who is God except the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." Go into the New Testament. There's another man there who makes me feel worn out, and that's the Apostle Paul. I know Luke has to condense many years into the book of Acts. But nonetheless, if you think of just the journeys of Paul, the intensity of the preaching, there in Ephesus, for 2 years, he preached in the heat of the day. And therefore, you want to go to Paul and say, "How did you manage to do so much?" And he would say, and it's there in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." I can add my own testimony here. As pastor, I tend to sort of only keep my diary 2/3 full, because you never know what might happen, and you can always fill it by going to see someone or phoning them up. But of course, there are those weeks when you don't just get one thing that's going to fill your diary, it always comes in pairs. And you just think, how am I going to do all this ministry this week? And the Lord is the one who strengthens. And sometimes, you know, we think, you know, we can't do this ministry for the Lord. We can if we are under his wings, because he will strengthen us. We can't have that conversation with a non-Christian. We don't know what we're doing, but if we're underneath the Lord's wings, he will strengthen us. Because there we find guidance, we find strength, and thirdly, we find protection. We find protection. Now, Ruth has obviously got the eye of some of those in the field. Therefore, she could be in a vulnerable position. But yet the Lord protected her through this man called Boaz, who says in verses 8 and 9, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field. No, go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Boaz is offering her protection. He says to her, "I've told my men that they are not to touch you." And although it's not exactly there in the scripture, I can also imagine if those men saw anybody else going anywhere near Ruth or causing her any trouble, those big, butch, burly men would be there straight away saying, "What are you doing?" She has got the protection she needs. And now, because of Christmas, we talk about, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." But look at verse 22. Naomi, who knows Bethlehem because it's her town, says, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." And some translations go on to quote her, say, "Lest you be harmed, or even lest you be assaulted." It was dangerous to be poor. And underneath the Lord's wings, God was now protecting her. And in the midst of the storm that we are in, under his wings, we can find protection. It was Moses' testimony who said in Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12, "As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led them, and there was no foreign God." Underneath the Lord's wings, Ruth found guidance. She found strength. She found protection. And finally, she found provision. Finally, she found provision. Now, already, Ruth and Naomi had known provision. After all, Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, the Lord had provided for them food in Bethlehem. The Lord had given gleaning rights to the poor, Leviticus 23, 22. So they were already benefiting from God's kindness to them. But underneath his wings, they would find more. Boaz, who hears of Ruth, meets with her and says, verse 9, "Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." I mean, the one thing you're going to need if you glean is water. And there's not much drinking water in the middle of the fields of Bethlehem. And Boaz said, just go and get the water the men have drawn. Help yourself. It's lovely, isn't it? She carries on gleaning during the morning, and then verse 14, she's invited to Boaz to lunch. Okay, it was only a picnic, but Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. As a friend of mine would say, not only did Ruth have an ample sufficiency, she had a superfluous redundancy. It's not that God provided for her, but rather God provided abundantly for her. In addition to that, Boaz provides for her, as he says to his men, verses 15 to 16, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and not rebuke her." And just as we think this through, just remember what their field was like a year ago. And 2 years ago. Maybe 10 years ago. It was empty. There'd been a famine. Can you imagine how sparse food was? And there's Boaz saying, just drop some for her. Just give her as much as she wants. So she goes home and she has 22 litres of grain as well as a doggy bag from the picnic lunch. So much so that it causes Naomi to rethink things. Because nobody comes back with so much grain. And yet Ruth does. The Lord who had provided for 40 years in the wilderness was now providing food in Bethlehem and doing so abundantly. And again, this too was Paul's provision. He would write to the church of Philippi, not only speaking about the Lord giving him strength, but supplying for him. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And so Ruth had found shelter underneath the Lord's wings. She found guidance. She found strength. She found provision. She found protection. But we find ourselves in a very different position to Ruth. We're here in Garden of England. We have work or pensions. We have homes. We have finance. So what do we learn? Except perhaps picking the windfalls up from the orchards in the autumn. Well, firstly, what's clear is that we need to be where Ruth is. We need to be underneath the Lord's wings. Not just because we are in a pandemic, but because we are in a sinful world. And I trust that all of us have indeed come to Christ and found in Christ the guidance that we need. That Christ has made it clear to us that our lives are away from God. We are the foreigner as far as the things of God is concerned. And we need to be reconciled to God. And we need that strength to acknowledge that we are sinners who need saving. To use the word here, we need protecting. Not from people who would rob us, but from a devil that would rob us of our lives now and for eternity. It is the robbery of sin and this world that we need protection from. And we need the provision of a saviour. And all of that is available in Christ Jesus. So have we turned to him for the guidance that we need? That strength to repent, that protection from sin and death and hell, and discovered the provision of eternal life in him. But then, loved ones, this morning, are we still sheltering under those winds? Because to use the ornithological picture, there's those birds and they're laying their eggs, and those eggs will hatch and the mother bird will keep their wings over them, but those birds will grow up and they'll learn to fly themselves and they will fly the nest. And there can be a danger that we foolishly do the same things in the Christian world, that we come to Christ and we find underneath the wings of God the guidance, the strength, the protection, the provision that we need. And yet then think, well, I'm all right now, I'm a Christian. I can just carry on. Don't need to really grow anymore in the things of God, I made it. Oh, how foolish we are. How each and every day we need to be making sure that we ourselves are dwelling underneath the wings of God. Let me quote David in conclusion. David, Ruth's great-grandson, wrote, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you did for Ruth. Might have been 3,500 years ago, but that doesn't matter, because you are the unchanging God. And as we see Ruth, a foreigner, find that place under your wings, that place of guidance and strength and protection and provision, we know there's a place for us. We may be foreigners to the things of God. That doesn't mean there's no room for us. But rather, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And we ask and pray, please, that we may be those who find shelter under your wings. And in the midst of all that's going on, help us to keep our place underneath our wing, underneath your wings. And we ask and pray this, please, in Jesus' name.